chapter 6, please. Numbers chapter 6. And we'll look at the last few verses of the chapter there. Numbers chapter 6. I want to direct you to verse number 22. Follow along as we read. The Bible says, "And the Lord spake unto Moses." Again, that expression has been repeated in every chapter up to this point in the book of Numbers. Usually the chapter begins with that expression, but here, even at the conclusion of chapter 6, we find it again. "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto Aaron and unto his sons, saying, On this wise ye shall bless the children of Israel, saying unto them, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." These are the verses that record a prayer of blessing that the priests were to pronounce upon the children of Israel. God wanted his people to know that he was interested in blessing them, and that the way he was going to bless them was a specific way. And so he said to his spokesman, the priest there, he said, "When you address the children of Israel, say unto them," and this is a familiar, I think, prayer of blessing that you have heard before and maybe have even come to use in time to time with the people. But in particular, the Lord said unto them, "Say unto the children of Israel, The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." If you were to review Israel's history, you would soon realize that God has indeed blessed the nation of Israel and his people, the Jewish people, in a great way. Would you agree with that? Maybe you're not a history buff. Maybe you don't keep up with that. But you know from what you've learned in Scripture that the Jews are God's chosen people. And from what you see in the news and all that Israel has encountered in their history, you know that there has to be someone providentially taking care of them, and that, of course, is the Lord God, who said that he would bless them, he would keep them, he would make his face shine upon them, and his countenance would be upon them, and he would give them peace. He called them in his grace through Abraham. He said, "You will be the father of a great nation, and through you many nations would be blessed." And he said to the people there, the children of Israel, "You're going to be my people, and I will be your God." He rescued them from bondage, called them out of Egypt and underneath the rule of Pharaoh. And he gave them his word while they were there in the desert. He gave them some instruction. Basically, we know it as the Ten Commandments, but he offered other things as well. And that was a blessing to the people. He gave them the promised land that we see recorded in the Word of God. He dwelt with them in the sanctuary of the tabernacle. And by the way, I believe Brother White is going to begin a study of the tabernacle here in the auditorium on Sunday mornings at 9:30. And so if you'd like to get in on that, come and be a part of the class for the next several weeks. I trust that it'll be a blessing to you. If I knew what other Sunday school teachers were teaching, if I could find out, I'd be glad to put a plug in for them as well and invite you and encourage you to come to their class also. And so if you, as a Sunday school teacher, want to share that with me, then we'll be glad to do that. But getting back to the blessing that God bestowed upon the Jewish people and the children of Israel, he not only dwelt with them in the sanctuary of the tabernacle, but he, of course, probably the greatest blessing is that he sent his son through the nation of Israel, for the Bible records that salvation is of the Jews. And even to this day, God continues to bless little Israel and the people that make up that great nation. And even though some are trying hard to destroy it. Literally, one individual has said that Israel needs to be annihilated, wiped off the face of the map, that they need to be destroyed. And while attempts have come and gone over the years, and there are still attempts to do Israel in, God still has his hand of blessing upon that nation. And we can see it evident when we just take the time to look. But did you know that this prayer of blessing recorded here in Numbers chapter 6 belongs to the church today also? It's not just for the children of Israel. And God doesn't just desire to bless them, but he wants to bless the church today also. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians through the Apostle Paul and under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, blessed be God who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. So we have every blessing afforded to us as well, even though we are members of this present church age. And the Bible says to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And so we're included in that. We even though we're not we weren't born into that race and we're not a part of that nation, we have a place in God's kingdom, and we have a place in God's plan for the ages, and God desires to bless the church just like he desires to bless the nation Israel. And so this prayer is important to you and I tonight, just as it was to them. Just as Israel needed the blessings that God desired to give to them, so do we need those blessings. I mean, we need to be cared for by the Lord who watches over us, just as he has Israel. We need to have the smile of God's face or his favor upon us, just as it has been for Israel these many years. And we need or would like to experience the riches of his graces, would we not? We would delight in knowing that God has been willing to share those things with us. We would like to have him pay attention to us when we call upon him, when we are in need, when we cry out to him. We're interested in knowing that he will hear us and help us. And so in this pronouncement, I see some blessings that we can receive from the Lord. He said, this is the blessings that we need. These are the blessings that we should desire in our heart and life, just as Israel did. And so I want to look at this thing tonight, verse by verse, expression by expression, and try to break it down for us tonight so that we can understand just what kind of blessings the Lord has available to us. There are some that are obvious and some that are not. Some that are easily recognizable and some we may not pay much attention to. But nonetheless, there are blessings here that God has for us that we need to become aware of. And so I want to say, first of all, that what I see here is the blessing of his presence. We see the blessing of his presence in this pronouncement recorded in these verses. The Bible says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. Verse 25 says, the Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Verse 26 again starts out with the two words, the Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. And even the presence of the Lord is seen in verse 27 when he said, and I will bless them, referring to Israel or the children of Israel. So we see the blessing of presence here in this pronouncement. The priests were to make this blessing of pronouncement to the people, and they were to start out with the words, the Lord. I want you to know something. The presence of God is a great blessing in our life. Just knowing that he is there, just knowing that we can go to him at any time is a blessing to the child of God. It gives us confidence that we need for every situation that we're going to face in life. It sure is good to know, as we said this morning, that the Lord is on our side, that God is for us, and that he's there to help us in our time of need. It's good to experience, to enjoy his presence. David said, if it had not been the Lord who was on our side when men rose up against us, then they had swallowed us up quick when their wrath was kindled against us. If it had not been for the Lord, where would we be? If his presence did not come to us, if we could not enjoy that at any given time, we sure would be in a mess of trouble, wouldn't we? But praise God, we can enjoy his presence. You see, the Lord promised to be with us till the end of the world. In Matthew 28 and verse 20, Jesus said, "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." He is always present with us, whether we realize it or not. He's there. And you say, well, what will happen at the end of the world? What will happen when we come to the end of time as we know it? Then those that are saved will be with Him.
Yes.
Amen? So either way, it's a blessing to know that His presence is with us, or that when this age eventually ends, we're going to be with Him.
Amen.
And we're going to be that way throughout all eternity. Praise be to God. What a blessing it is to know that we have His presence with us. And so He said, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make His face shine upon thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee." Oh, to know that the Lord is present in our life is truly a blessing. And Hebrews 13 and verse number 5, in the middle of the verse says there, talks about being content with such things as you have, and not being covetousness, but he says, know this, that I will never leave thee. God's presence is always with us. Isn't that a blessing? To know that you have God's presence with you at all times. And then we see here the blessing of His protection. The blessing of His protection. The Bible says, "The Lord bless thee and keep thee," in verse number 24. Isn't it good to know that the Lord is our keeper? That the Lord is keeping us. He promises to keep us in His Word. One way that keep is used in the Bible, and it's used in a lot of different ways, in regards to Christians and their obedience to the Lord, we're to keep His commandments. We're to honor Him. We're to obey Him. We're to do our best to keep what the Lord has said to us in a right way. But another way it's used in the Word of God is in regards to the Lord and His children, and the fact that He is more than willing and able to defend us and protect us, that He's able to keep us in that regards. Proverbs 3 and verse number 26 says, "The Lord shall keep thy foot from being taken." There's people that want to come along and take us, amen, as we talked about this morning. But the Lord will protect us from being taken. He will keep us from falling. "And now unto Him that is able to keep thee from falling." Amen, the Word of God says. And so I'm glad that the Lord is in the keeping business, that He's able to protect us. In John 17, when really I think is what the real Lord's Prayer, many people refer to Matthew chapter 6, where it says, the disciple said, "Lord, teach us to pray." And He said, "Pray in this manner, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And that's come to be known as the Lord's Prayer. But I think the real Lord's Prayer is recorded in John chapter 17. Jesus is about to go to the cross. And as he reflects upon all that is before Him, He's overcome with emotion, and He prays to God the Father. And He says there in that prayer, "Lord, I pray that I'd be able to keep all them that have been given to Me. Let none of them fall away. Let none of them drift off. Let none of them be lost. But Lord, let me keep all them that have been given to Me." And so the Lord is in the keeping business. In Revelation chapter 3 and verse 10, it says, the Lord says there, "I will keep thee from the hour of temptation." I'm glad that God's a keeper of us, amen,
amen.
And that He is willing to defend and protect us in times throughout our life. How good it is to be under His divine protection, to know that the hand of God and the providence of God is at work in our life. For as the song suggests, there are many dangers, toils, and snares along the pathway of life, but praise God, through His grace we overcome all those things, because
amen.
He protects us, because He keeps us. And whom the Lord keeps, that's a blessing in itself, because them that He keeps will never be lost. Amen? You can never, ever again find yourself in a lost condition. You once was lost, but now you're found. You ever have something and you lose it? You say, "I'm going to put it up for safekeeping," and then you don't remember where you put it? You put it up so good that you can't even find it? The Lord doesn't work like that, friend. The Lord keeps us in a way where He knows where we're at and we'll never, ever be lost. Amen? I'm glad that there's the blessing of His protection. It says, the Lord bless thee and keep thee. And then I want you to see that there's the blessing of patronage here. The blessing of patronage. Look at verse 25. It says, the Lord make His face shine upon thee. You say, that's an odd expression. The Lord make His face to shine upon thee. What does that mean? I believe the idea here is for God to be pleased so that it brings a smile to His face, so that we experience His favor, so that God looks at us and the way we are living our life in a way that is pleasing to Him, and the Lord says, that causes me to smile. That brings joy to me in knowing that my children are interested in doing things the way that I desire for them to do them. There's the blessing of patronage, or the favor of God. You see, the Bible says that the Lord is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What is the reward for pursuing God? For going after God with a thirsty heart, with a thirsty soul. Well, what reward is there in pursuing God in that manner? The reward is that we enjoy the favor of God, that He looks upon us and says, I'm going to bless those people because they're willing to love me with their whole heart. And so the favor of God is what we're talking about here. Daniel experienced that in his life. You may recall that the Bible says that God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Because of Daniel's desire to take a stand for God and to live obedient to God's word and a refusal to bow to the king's command, God elevated Daniel. He bestowed favor upon him through the prince of the eunuchs. Joseph was another individual in the word of God who experienced the favor of God. The Bible says the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. As I studied those two verses and realized that they were good illustrations here for us in the message, I come to realize that in both cases, in both men's lives, the Lord favored them, but He did it through other people. For Daniel, it was the prince of the eunuchs. For Joseph, it was the keeper of the prison. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2 and verse 52, in regards to the Lord Jesus Himself, that He increased in wisdom and stature and found favor with God and man. So the favor of God leads to us receiving favor in the eyes of people and in the eyes of earthly authorities. I want to tell you, that's a blessing in itself, because whether you realize it or not, we need the blessing and the favor of others in this world that we're living in. The opportunity to have doors opened up before us comes as a result of the favor of God. We're able to do some things for the Lord, to minister and witness for Him, because of the favor of God that He bestows upon us. And He uses other people to accomplish that. In dealing with others, we need God's favor. We need to be able to share our testimony with them in such a way that they realize that God has favored us in some way. So there's the blessing of God's favor, the blessing of God's patronage in our life. He's willing to smile upon us, to have His face shine upon us. And then the Bible says in verse number 25, and be gracious unto thee. To me, that is the blessing of prosperity. And that's often the blessing that we think of when we hear the word blessing spoken of. We often think of material things and how we prosper from the hand of God. But the Bible says here, and be gracious unto thee. Do you realize that we could not have any material blessing, we could not have any prosperity if it weren't for God's grace? If He weren't willing to bestow upon us His grace and His mercy and His love, and when we walk according to His word, then the Bible says that we are blessed with His provision. Amen. That He promises to meet our needs. In His grace and for our sakes, the Bible says that He was willing to become poor so that we might be made rich. That's the grace of God, my friend. That's in His gracious attribute. He is willing to bless us in a particular way. Paul said, "The Lord God of all grace causeth us to triumph, causeth us to have victory in the Christian life." So true prosperity is having God as the source of your supply. Not a fat bank account, not a job that will see to it that you're well taken care of. But if you're a child of God, the source of your supply is the Lord God of heaven. And the Bible says that my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. There's the blessing of prosperity. Isn't it a blessing to know that God is interested in the affairs of our life and the needs that we have, and that there are never too many for Him to say, "Whoa, wait a minute, you're going to have to slow down"? Or there are too many people ahead of you. God is aware of what we need, and He's more than willing to bless us by providing it. He prospers us in that way. And then I want you to see something else here. There is the blessing of purity. The blessing of purity. If you look at verse number 26, the Bible says, "The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee." I'd stop and think about that for a little while. "The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee." If you just take it at face value, a countenance is an appearance, and so it's referring to the Lord and who He is. And it says here, "The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee," that He become so much of your life that you're aware of His appearance. But not just that, that you, as a result of His appearance in your life, become more like He wants you to be. The Bible says in the book of Romans that we're to be conformed to the image of His dear Son. Yes. And that we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. That's only possible by the blessing of God and His work in our lives. And His willingness to reveal Himself to us in every circumstance and situation. And so as we see God at work in our lives, and we see what He's trying to accomplish by those things, then it should bring us to a place where we become more like what He wants us to be and less of what we really are. We become Christ-like in our character, and we respond much like Jesus would respond, and we treat people the way that Jesus treats us, and we love with a genuine love, and people see that we're not phonies, we're not fakes, we're not just a star that's going to burn out, but we're for real, and that our lives count for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there is the blessing here of purity. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee. As we see Him evident in our life, we get farther and farther away from what we are and closer to what He wants us to become. The Lord is willing to sanctify us, to preserve us, and to make us whole, so that at His coming, the Bible says in Peter there, that we'll be blameless, that no one will be able to point a finger at us and accuse us of living a life that wasn't pleasing unto the Lord. You see, folks, our lights need to shine brightly for the Lord. Our witness, our testimony needs to be evident before others. We shouldn't have to hide our light under a bushel. Amen? We shouldn't have to keep it in the closet. Amen? It ought to be something that we're willing to take out and show before others and share with others. It ought to be a tool that we use to witness to the lost that are still in the world. And the Lord helps us to come to the place where not in ourselves we're pure, but by His righteousness, by His countenance that is upon us, we are transformed and we become Christ-like in our character. I remember hearing years ago about a popular TV evangelism duo. They were a husband and a wife, and I'm not going to name names. You may already know who I'm talking about. If you do, that's okay, I suppose. But they were always talking about, in the beginning of the program, that God has blessed us. We are really blessed. And then come to find out they were using what they referred to as the blessing of God inappropriately. They were mishandling some of the blessings that they had received from the hand of God, and they got in great trouble as a result. Friend, our lives need to be as clean as they can possibly be. Amen. They need to be as pure as God would have them to be, so that our lights will shine brightly before others, and we don't bring reproach upon the name of Christ. So there's the blessing of purity. And then I want you to see there in verse 26, the Bible says, "The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." And give thee peace. You know, I think that there is one blessing that every individual desires from the Lord. It is this blessing right here. Yes. The blessing of peace. Yes, we want to prosper. Yes, we want our needs met. Yes, we want to live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord. I believe most of us here tonight want to do that. We want to be as clean as we can before the Lord and before others. But I think the one blessing that every individual desires is the blessing of peace. We're living in a world that has gone mad. If you look around you, there isn't much peace in people's lives. There'll be no peace until Jesus reigns in an individual's life. Amen? But then when he reigns, he gives us a peace that is unlike any other. A peace that passes all understanding, we're told in the Word of God. A peace that the world may not understand, but the child of God comes to realize. He said here, by pronouncement of the blessing, "The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace." The kind of peace that comes when, even though there's trouble in our life, even though there's a great storm howling on the horizon, there's a quietness in our heart. There's a contentment in our soul, in knowing that in spite of the circumstances, God is with us and we're at peace. I think about the disciples that were out on the sea there in the ship. And even though the Lord was on board, he was in the back of the boat asleep, and the storm came up and they became alarmed, frightened, and they ran to the Lord and said, "Lord, don't you care that we perish? Can't you see what's happening here?" And what did Jesus say to those men? "Be not afraid, peace be still." He calmed the storm and the raging sea for them. And I think he probably just turned over and went back to sleep, just as peacefully as he was before. You see, we have the blessing of peace from the Lord. It is the ability to rise above the circumstances. It is the ability to see light at the end of the tunnel. It is the ability to know that in spite of what's going on, God is going to see you through it.
Yes.
The blessing of peace. I want to tell you what, folks, there's a lot of people in this world who don't have that. They don't experience it like the Christian has opportunity to experience. But you know the sad thing is? There are a lot of Christians that don't experience it in that way either. May God help us to realize that God wants us to enjoy the blessing of peace. I think that's what Paul meant when he said in Philippians chapter 4, and I'll read it for you. Verse 6 and 7, he said, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Oh, it's a blessing to know that God is willing to give us the peace that will keep our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen? That we have him on our side no matter how difficult it becomes. And now I want you to look at verse 27, if you will. The Bible says, "And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel, and I will bless them." We talked about a lot of blessings that the Lord desires for us to have. The blessings that I think he wants us to know we need. But the last one here is important. Let's don't miss it. It is the blessing of purpose. The blessing of purpose. He said, "And they shall put my name upon the children of Israel." In other words, they shall be identified as one of mine, and I will bless them. In regards to Israel, isn't that exactly what has happened? throughout history. God put His name upon His people, and He has blessed them in spite of all of the difficulty. And so they have come or will come to the place where they realize what their destiny is, and they'll know what their reason for existence is, and they'll submit to the lordship of God Almighty. Eventually, they will have their king. Eventually, they will know who the Lord God is. They will be identified, and they'll understand their purpose. Now, I want to tell you something. We're here for a purpose. We're here to live for God. In this age that we're living in, we ought to be willing to stand up and let our light shine. We ought to be willing to sacrifice our desires, our ambitions, our agenda, so that we can come to the place where God can use us to minister in this age of grace. We shouldn't be ashamed to be identified as the people of God. The Lord told Moses here, "You tell the priest, pronounce this blessing upon the people, and they shall put my name upon the children of Israel." You know what I think God desires? I think He desires for His people to be willing to go out into this world as a representative for Him, as an ambassador for Him, as someone who says, "Yes, I'm a Christian, and I'm not ashamed." We used to sing a song, a little chorus, I think, that uses the word Christian. I don't know if I can remember exactly how all of it goes, but it's something like, "I am a C, I am a CH, I am a CHRISTIAN, and I will..." Help me. Somebody help me. Where's my children's church workers at? "And I will..." "And I will LIVEETERNALLY live eternally." And then it goes back and repeats itself, I think. I think God wants some people who are willing to stand up and say just that. "I am a Christian. I'm not ashamed. I have Christ in my heart. And I know that I'm going to live for all eternity. But until that time comes, I'm going to do my best to represent Him in this lost world and lead people to understand what He did for them on the cross." We can't save anyone, folks, but we can sure tell them what Jesus Christ did in order to save them. Amen? And that's really all that God expects from us. We can do it with our life, the way that we live. We can do it with our mouth, and we ought to be doing it with both. We should be living clean lives, and we should be speaking out as a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, leading the lost to come to understand what the Lord has done for them. And so may God help us to understand what His blessing upon us is, the blessing that we need, the blessing that we should want in our life. May we begin to use this passage of Scripture here. "The Lord bless thee and keep thee." May we say it to one another, "The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up His countenance upon thee and give thee peace." You see, when we begin to bless others in that way, then we're a blessing to someone else. And when we're a blessing to someone else, I think God will just continue to bless us more and more. There's a song in our hymn book that I meant to look up the page to it too, but I want you to turn to it with me. It's "Make Me a Channel of Blessing," and it is found on 334. I want you to look at the words with us here, if you will. I think it sums up what we're trying to say here tonight. 334, "Make me a blessing out in the highways and byways of life. Many are weary and sad. Carry the sunshine where darkness is rift, making the sorrowing glad. Make me a blessing, make me a blessing. Out of my life may Jesus shine. Make me a blessing, O Savior, I pray. Make me a blessing to someone today. Amen. Tell the sweet story of Christ and His love. Tell of His power to forgive. Others will trust Him if only you prove true every moment you live. Give as 'twas given to you in your need. love as the Master loved you. Be to the helpless a helper indeed. Unto your mission be true. Make me a channel of blessing to someone today. Amen. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.